Phil Boyer gets an up-close look at the health of general aviation. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the ANN special feature. Thanks for the download. Today, we'll hear part two of three of Jim Campbell's interview with former AOPA President Phil Boyer, who completed a long summer cross-country trip in his Bonanza, a great vantage point from which to assess the overall health of the industry.
Since you worked with a number of different airports and FBOs, can you gauge the temperature of how GA is surviving in the field at this stage of the game? I mean, what was your impression of how folks are dealing with the reality of both this economy and where aviation is right now? What was your impression?
Well, my impression was in many of the places we went, it's hurting. The small airports are definitely hurting. Places that when I traveled with AOPA, I remember they had flight schools at them. Many of those flight schools are gone, or when I asked about it even at a couple of these places, well, we had two students in the last month, you know, that kind of thing. I think business aviation seems to be recovering some, and maybe this attitude that I know I experienced in the past about small planes, now you seem welcome almost any place because the ramp isn't just filled with jets like it used to be, and so a Bonanza coming in with tip tanks to them now has a little bit more meaning, I guess, because at least it's not the line guys sitting in the shack waiting for a plane to come by. It's something for them to do, and you do have those fixed costs. But it's definite to see it. I can't say it's gloom and doom because there are people still like me out there, not just flying for recreation, but flying for business. But it isn't what it was. Remember, I learned to fly in the 60s and went through the heyday of the 70s. Got a real serious plane, a Baron, in the 80s as things started to dip when Cessna quit their production. And then never really had too much time to look around with AOPA other than ask the health of the business. It's definitely, very definitely evident that things have lessened there, but I don't see grass coming through the cracks at the ramps at most of these airports yet, so there is business, and maybe that's good for some of us who fly the smaller planes, because now we are a piece of business that maybe has a little bit more meaning to those that would just as soon the jets came in 4 years ago and we stayed away.
What were the high points? Anything particularly come to mind when you think on this trip? What were the best moments of the trip?
Well, I would say the versatility of a single-engine plane, which I haven't experienced because I hadn't owned one for 30 years. Well, I owned a 172, but that was our $100 hamburger plane. But the versatility of a single-engine plane, flying VFR, just all came back to me, which was absolutely terrific. That was one thing. As I said, the Rockies and flying over the mountains, and you know, at first I was thinking I was flying the jet, and after I made that Billings, Montana to Portland trip, I started looking at the sectional a little bit more and saying, well, you know, if I just dog-legged over here and then dog-legged over here, I'd have some valleys and stuff to land at. So that gave me a little mountain flying thought as far as that's concerned. And then I have to, as you know, I'm sort of a technology freak, and I have to say what the technology today in the cockpit does is just absolutely wonderful. Thinking about my really private flying times, I went to AOPA just as the GPS transition was coming in. So today with our modern cockpits, obviously being on the Aspen board, I have a 3-tube Aspen system and the normal Garmin 530, 430, those kinds of things. And it just makes it so versatile. Once again, with AOPA, flying in the flight levels, I never worried too much about military operating areas. Well, in some of the places I was at, there was just all kinds of military airspace. And today's modern avionics and flight planning tools make rooting yourself around that. And then I was somewhat shocked by a lack of many of them not being hot, so that when you had planned a diversion around them already in your flight plan, you could ask and definitely go through them. So those were some of the things. I think, as you know, on your Aero Minutes, I talked about the iPad a little bit. Man, I had that this entire trip. I'll never forget standing on the ramp in Sun River, Oregon. Once again, this was a resort airport. There was a guy pre-flighting a 210 with his wife, about my age, and doing about the same thing, although a little less this going around the country. He was a West Coaster, and he came over and introduced himself, and I talked to him and his wife, and they were going to Santa Rosa when we were going from Central, from the same airport, and we were going to San Francisco, so basically the same route. And I said, well, I think we have a little front or precip en route right at the California border. And he hadn't seen that. So he said, I wonder if they'll, and it's a little shack of an FBO there, real nice people. I wonder if they have weather planning in there. And I just whipped the iPad out right on the ramp in 3G and said, well, here's exactly what we're looking at. Well, obviously, I think by the time he got to Santa Rosa, he's probably looking for the closest Apple store. that is just phenomenal. Or to decide on the ramp, why don't we go here for our fuel stop, and then just file your flight plan if you needed one on that route. It was really, really valuable. So it gave me a good look at that.
Well, I for one, you know, my iPad is now surgically attached, or so it seems, especially where flying is concerned and in so many other areas. And with the amount of support software being built into that and even more on the horizon, it's become an indispensable device.
Well, it certainly has. And I, people think, actually my wife gets mad at me, people think I work for Apple or I'm commissioned in some way on selling this or ForeFlight or some of the other products. And frankly, I'm just enthused because I think it brings so much versatility to a pilot. And I must say, 2 to 3 times a week, I'm giving somebody a demo. Oftentimes, it's when we're going to dinner with couples here in Cincinnati, and we're at a fine restaurant, and we're pulling out the iPad and giving the pilot of the couple a full demo. I know I sold one or two last weekend. I was at the Bonanza Pilot Proficiency Program, which I've done a couple times, and the flight instructor, a younger and very computer savvy guy, had just gotten his iPad a week ago, but he hadn't really combined it with aviation yet too much. And then he, of course, they were all fighting over me as to which one gets to fly with me in the three tube Aspen, because you know they'd flown with maybe one tube but never the three. So this instructor got me, and we're starting to climb out into the soup, actually, because it was IFR on our departure airport to go do some instrument approaches. And we're in the soup, oh, right up to 6,000 feet. He's talking to me on the way up, and I won't mention any names here, and he's starting to ask questions about the Aspen. And I said, let's wait until we level off, and then I'll give you a full demonstration, because right now I'm flying. And when we were done with the 4 hours, it's a great refresher. And as I said, I've flown Bonanzas and Barons for 30 years and still find I'm picking up tips all the time. And when we come to land, he fills out the sticker for the BFR and the ICC. And I said, listen, I don't have my stickers with me, but I'll send you one on and sign you off on the 3-tube Aspen and the iPad instruction that I gave you.
You gotta like that.
Yeah.
Talk about working both sides of the fence here.
Right.
In a moment, more on glass panels, and Phil Boyer let slip a hint into the future of Aspen Avionics. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Piperjet.
Pipersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved. At facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Freedom through innovation. It's what led us to develop Cirrus Flying 2.0, the framework for a bold new take on private aviation. And as a result, the gap between the aircraft we produce and those of our competitors continues to widen. Cirrus knows where the personal aircraft industry is headed. We're already there.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. ANN's Jim Campbell is talking with former AOPA President Phil Boyer about glass panel technology and how it's changed general aviation.
Now, you retrofitted your airplane with the Aspen, been about a year now, has it?
Just about a year, about 10 months ago, yeah.
So this is the longest trip you've done with an all-glass panel in a single-engine recip then, correct?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
What was your experience? I mean, the overall change, and how did it change your methodology in regards to both VFR and IFR flight?
Well, first of all, the three tubes, actually two tubes, would give you this. The redundancy of the equipment you have is absolutely unbelievable. Good example, on the pilot proficiency program, one of the things they do is they want to cover up your steam gauge ADI and HSI and your see how you're going to fly a GPS approach or a ILS approach. You know, in other words, a failure of those things. Well, he couldn't figure out, what can I fail here? I mean, all the redundancy I have is there wasn't enough to fail. Finally, I said, no, I'm with, and said, maybe we just won't do that. I said, no, let's fail both tubes right now. A pitot-static failure would do that. And then let's fly with the steam gauge attitude indicator and then the compass and the map, moving map on the Garmin 530 or 430. The redundancy you have, knowing that if you were over the mountains, if you're IMC in the mountains, as we were a little bit, you've got weather on there, so you're looking at what you're circumnavigating. You've got the backup system if anything should fail, if your whole electrical system goes. You've got a standby battery of a half hour in one and an hour in the other. So there's just a tremendous amount of redundancy in that regard. And that, then not to mention all of the, you know, I'm back here in Cincinnati and my East Coast flying with the plane, I really hardly ever use terrain. And I'll tell you, I sure use terrain.
Terrain is a godsend in that area.
Yeah. And actually, if you were IMC and you did have an emergency, an engine failure of some kind, you'd really depend on that terrain information to at least find, you know, the lowest points. You'd be able to pick out where the mountains were and where the valleys were without sight of the ground. So now you can get this in other ways, but the Aspen, with one tube, two tubes, three tubes, you're just adding, because you can segment those tubes into one display, two displays, or even three displays, except for the PFD. So you've got a tremendous number of ways to configure what you want for that leg of the flight, the terrain you're in, the weather you're in, and what information you need. All kinds of information about the airspace, the airport that you may not have planned to land at, but now you're going to, those kinds of things. So it's a tremendous boon, and obviously we've grown into this through the, you know, as we've looked at handhelds and other things, but to have this panel mounted, to have it certified, is really spectacular.
It's changed my flying over the last couple of years. You know, obviously we're on an Avidyne system, the R9 now, and the whole concept of not just glass cockpit, but I'm in a system with two Atahars plus, you know, an old set of, you know, steam gauges below in the Cirrus, and the amount of redundancy and awareness that, you know, I have in every flight now is just astounding. And you can't help but just be really enthused about what you can do with an airplane right now. You're just kind of waiting for the rest of aviation to recover so we can do more with it.
Absolutely. And speaking of the Avidyne, I hadn't really paid a lot of attention to the display. It's a moving map when I've done the flights that I have with planes that have it in it. But I was at Tornado Alley in Gammy looking at their new fuel solution a couple weeks ago, and George Braley took me up in his Cirrus equipped with the Avidyne. And I'll tell you, now, of course, the whole purpose of this wasn't to be flying a Cirrus or do any kind of, it was to look at the fuel, the temperatures it created, and that engine instrument display that they have, you know, on the Avidyne. When it gets blown up, to a full-size display is another example of how electronics in the cockpit can give you all kinds of information that, yes, you can get from a single round little gauge with various bars on it, but nothing beats the color coding, the large size, the amount of information. And Aspen has already come up with the interface and solution, needs to be certified, so it'll probably be a little less than a year, but they are making one of those spaces on the 3 or 1 or 2 screen display for that engine instrumentation also.
Tomorrow, when this conversation concludes, what's ahead for former AOPA President Phil Boyer? Jim Campbell is ANN's CEO and Editor-in-Chief. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.